This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
It is Friday night, always ready for the biggest, the best in sports at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Join us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always email the show, info, eRadioSports.com, and podcast, arena.com. I am so excited to have back with us in studio. He is back from his Christmas break, and that is Brendan Riley, who's going to help us break down the NFL wild card weekend. The 2019 regular season's in the rearview mirror, so we're going to get after it. Good evening, and it's Happy New Year. It's good to have you back, Brendan.
Yeah, Happy New Year. It's good to be back.
Okay, so let's break this down for our listeners tonight. The Ravens, the Chiefs, the Packers, and the 49ers, they get to exhale just a bit. They get to sit back and relax during this wild card weekend. But I'm thinking about the Vikings at the Saints. I mean, that's a game I certainly have my eye on. What are you going to be watching closely?
I think the most interesting thing there is just the last couple of years for the Saints have been heartbreakers. You know, last year with the missed call against the Rams, the year before that having their season end to the Vikings on the last second. So, I mean, just storylines there are great. The NFC playoffs as a whole, I think, are going to be pretty incredible. I think these are both teams. I wouldn't pick them to go to the championship game. But if you told me either one of these teams make it to the Super Bowl, I'm not surprised.
Well, the Vikings at the Saints, this is going to be a compelling matchup. I have to ask you, Brendan, which Kirk Cousins will the Vikings get against the Saints on Sunday?
You know what? I think I'm in the minority here, but I actually think that Kirk Cousins himself is still a pretty good player in big games. People like to say he's not. Look, it's a team game. He spent how long playing for the Redskins? What were the Vikings before he got there? You know, they had one really good year with Case Keenum, but that's not who they were. They lose this game. I don't think it's going to fall on Kirk Cousins. I think the Saints are, one, a better team, and two, they have some pretty great home field advantage.
The Vikings 10-6, the Saints 13-3, but the game that you're going to be at, Brendan, the Bills at the Texans, NRG Stadium on Saturday, 3:30 kickoff. First of all, before we talk about the Texans, what in the world is up with the Bills? Because they have been one of the biggest surprise teams in the 2019 season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of skeptical on them. I think the Dallas Cowboys might be their best win of the season, and you kind of know how their season went.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
The NFL conversation will continue at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Again, join us online at eRadio Sports, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, hour one, we are back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Happy New Year. And before we get underway with our next segment, did you know that one out of four batteries will fail this winter? Get yours tested for free during Superstar Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly's has the Superstar Battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, the 2020 NFL playoffs began with a wild card round on Saturday, and it is time to give you our playoff predictions and get you ready for Super Bowl 54 and to see if your team that you're projecting will win it all. We are delighted to have with us tonight, and that is Neil Greenberg, sports writer with the Washington Post. And I'm sure, Neil, it has been a very busy week for you. A lot happening, right?
Yeah, this is one of the busier times of the year for me. So I'm excited about this weekend's matchups.
Well, we're going to get to that. So before we get your thoughts on the teams playing in the wild card weekend and who is the biggest threat perhaps to win it all, let's talk about the additions and subtractions and what took place with the Redskins. They finished the season, fourth in the NFC East, and Ron Rivera was named the new head coach on Wednesday. And boy, he made some quick moves, already has in place his defensive coordinator in Del Rio. So why did the Redskins push so hard for Ron Rivera?
They needed to show fans that they were serious about becoming relevant in the NFL again. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that Washington has fallen off the map since Dan Snyder took over as the owner. The team has had a very difficult time making the playoffs. They've had a very difficult time of competing in the division. And it was time for the president and general manager, Bruce Allen, to go. That change was made after a decade of futility. And you know, I think with the hiring of Rivera, Dan Snyder is trying to show everybody that he's bringing, you know, bona fide coaching minds and football people into the organization. You know, Ron Rivera is a two-time Coach of the Year. He's a well-respected defensive mind. Obviously, brought the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl and also helped his quarterback Cam Newton win an MVP. So, I mean, those are very appealing attributes, obviously. And like you said, he already named Jack Del Rio, a former head coach in the NFL as well, as his defensive coordinator. So you have these two two football minds that come with a lot of gravitas. And you know, I think that was one element that was always missing from the Washington's head coaching ranks. And now it appears that they're starting to get a little bit more of it.
Neil Greenberg, sports writer with the Washington Post. Give him a follow on Twitter, at N Greenberg. And as we talk about the Redskins, the big move that took place, Ron Rivera now going to be the head coach. What is your belief, Neil? You know, what kind of grade would you give on this move? And, you know, ultimately, can Rivera revive a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs since 2015 and hasn't won a postseason game since 2005?
I think the move itself is a great hire. I think it's a great hire, both him and Jack Del Rio. I think you'd have to give that an A. As far as what impact could it have, you know, that remains to be seen. There's not a lot of talent on this roster. There's not a lot of talent that was brought in through the free agency ranks over the past couple of years under Allen's watch. And there wasn't a lot of draft, a lot of players brought in from the draft that are key contributors. And, you know, the biggest thing for Rivera right now is to figure out what to make of quarterback Dwayne Haskins. He was a first-round pick a year ago, struggled in the early part of the season, was able to turn it around a little bit later. But, you know, the jury's still out on how good Haskins can be. You know, there's a lot of needs. There's some needs on the offensive line. There's some needs at the receiver, a tight end. There's a lot of offensive parts that are missing. So even if he is able to get the defense to fulfill their potential, because there is a lot of players on that on that side of the ball that can grow into some really big roles, it really does remain to be seen what can happen offensively. So, you know, I think it'd be unfair to grade him at this point in terms of or at least make some projections until the draft's over in free agency. But, you know, that to me is his biggest hurdle. What can he do with this offense that can help them keep up with some of the other contenders that they're going to find around the league?
Okay, so we've talked about the offense, but what about defensively? Jack Del Rio comes to the table, and what does he have that perhaps, Neil, I mean, what does he have that other former defensive coordinators didn't have?
I think what we're going to see with him is there's already been talk of the team changing from the 3-4 base defense to the 4-3. That's going to allow them to use some of their front seven to both stop the run, but also get after the quarterback perhaps a little bit easier, maybe force some double teams. So I think between the two of them, they'll be able to create a defense that can be a problem for opposing offenses. I mean, there's certainly some talent on the front line, some young talent like Montez Sweat had 7 sacks during his rookie year. You know, he was a draft pick from a year ago. They have Jonathan Allen, a lot of the other, some other members of Alabama's collegiate teams over the years. So, I mean, there's enough talent there to make that sort of difference. And I think it becomes two things. One, can you make that change and make the defense better, number one. But number two, you know, can you make the defense creative? We've seen in the NFL, especially, you know, with the analytics that are out there, with how players disguise coverage and how, you know, teams are using more play action. You know, can you make those adjustments not only from week to week, but also from quarter to quarter? And you know, the Redskins coaches over the past couple of years weren't a very inspired bunch in that regard. They didn't do much out of the box thinking. So the hope is, you know, Ron Rivera's got a little bit of a reputation of being the gambling type. you know, Jack Del Rio is certainly one of the more respected defensive minds in football. You know, between the two of them, can they be creative enough with this defense that it actually is able to make an impact on the field?
He is the sports reporter with the Washington Post. Give him a follow on Twitter at N Greenberg. Neil Greenberg with us tonight, SB Nation. Just a few more minutes. So, you know, we all like to be optimistic. How quickly can Ron Rivera, and now he's got Jack Del Rio as the defensive coordinator, how quickly can they turn this organization around? Because I can only imagine, I mean, the Redskins fan base, they are very passionate. They are sick and tired of being sick and tired, right?
Yeah, and they're also jumping ship. I mean, you know, there's just, 20 miles up the beltway of 95, there's a very competitive team in the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been a lot of Redskins fans that have turned their attention north. There's got to be a quick turnaround. I think, you know, this upcoming draft is key because the Redskins have the number 2 pick. My belief is they're probably better off trading out of that pick to a team that wants a quarterback, get some more draft capital, get some more young talent in. And that would, to me, would hasten any sort of rebuild and turnaround. And also, you gotta figure out your quarterback position. I mean, they had a quarterback here in Kirk Cousins for a couple of years. Weren't able to keep him past the two franchise tags. So it seems like that position is currently in flux. You know, they thought maybe they had their guy in Alex Smith. He suffered a very bad leg injury. So now it turns to Dwayne Haskins. If Dwayne Haskins is the guy, the rebuild will be much quicker, maybe 2 years. If he's not the guy, then you're talking about maybe another 3 to 5 years because you have to learn that he's not the guy. You have to get another quarterback in here, probably through the draft, and then you have to develop that quarterback. So, you know, those type of things take time. My guess is we will probably see a turnaround in 3 to 5 years.
Hey, just give me a quick hit. Why did the Redskins finally decide to move on from their former president in Bruce Allen?
He was terrible. I mean, in every aspect
don't hold
of
back,
his
Neil.
Job, he
right.
was awful. I mean,
yeah.
just awful in every single way.
Hey, glad you've been with us. Yes, glad you've been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Neil Greenberg has been with us. Washington Post, check him out. And what are they going to find when they go to your Twitter? And what are they going to find when they look at you online?
You'll find the stories I write. I cover every sport from Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, football. I like comic books, so maybe you'll even see some comic book stuff there. And my movie tastes are terrible, so be ready to be enraged.
We love it. A diverse guide. Neil Greenberg is with us tonight. SB Nation Radio with the Washington Post. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you.
Sounds great.
You bet. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Happy New Year. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. We would love to hear from you, and you can chime in on our next conversation. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports Info, eRadioSports.com, and podcast. arena.com, and always need to take time to recognize the folks that make it happen, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices. Every day. Well, it is time to roll up our sleeves. We are ready to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. They missed the playoffs for the 7th time in 10 seasons. They finished 2019 with an 8-8 record, and we have so much to cover in our next segment. A true pleasure to welcome back. That is my guy, Brady Tinker from DFW Sports Beat. Also, check him out on the dial, ESPN Radio 103.3 in Dallas with his show Off with the Helmets. Good evening, Brady. Thank you. You're coming to our rescue.
Oh, good evening. We have two shows left, January 7th and 14th for Cowboys fans who still want to talk about this, and we're going to bring in some veteran guys, right? Some old guys who used to play for the team, the Randy White and the Cliff Harrises Charlie Waters and some of those guys to come in and sort of break it down and see, you know, what they saw in terms of an opportunity miss. And I think there's no other way to look at this season for the depth of this roster and the talent that was on this team than this was a massive opportunity missed.
Well, Captain Crash, Cliff Harris, he was on our show last week, so I'm sure you'll have a compelling conversation with him. But let's get to it. So let's talk about the Cowboys, because obviously there's a lot of things that we need to clear up. There's going to be all kinds of moves taking place, from the roster perhaps to the coaching staff. Just give us the pulse. What is the latest in Dallas? What do we need to know?
Well, as far as the roster goes, there are 24 unrestricted free agents that include Dak Prescott. Now, that's not really correct because they own the ability to franchise Dak, and that's what I anticipate them doing. But with 24, you know, free agents, and quite a few of them were prominent players on this team, there are decisions to be made financially relatively quickly. So I anticipate that Dak will be franchised sooner than later, so that they know in their minds, okay, that's $28 million or whatever it will be. It's roughly that number if they franchise him, and they can continue to get to work because they have between $90 and $110 million to spend. So there's plenty of money. Money will not be the issue. It's where do you want to spend it? And they have to make decisions on Amari Cooper, which my feeling is 8 games into the season, there was no doubt Amari Cooper was getting somewhere between $18 and $20 million a year for 5 years and going to stay. I have great doubt about that now. I think that what we saw from Amari Cooper was some of what worried us when they made the trade from Oakland. And that is, he loses concentration, he loses focus, he becomes disinterested, he becomes dejected with a quarterback that's not as accurate as he'd hoped. He had that in Oakland. And now at some point, as we know with Dak, he has that with Dak. So I think they didn't like some of the disinterest, if you will, that they saw from Amari, whether that's an accurate description or not, however you want to describe it, there was some of that they didn't like. And that's a lot of money. And certainly with the continued ascension of Michael Gallup, and the fact that I think Randall Cobb would like to re-sign here and play a couple of more years here and finish his career here, they have options. Plus, there are some good wide receivers early in the draft. So I don't think that Cooper's going to come back. So that will sort of begin to shape their possibilities with money. So that's one of the first things. If nothing else, the owner of this team is extremely aware and mindful, and he does care about the pulse of the fan. And the fan base is ready for a change. And I believe 8 weeks into this season, I was on my radio show off at the helm of telling people, get used to it. This guy's going to coach here as long as Tom Landry did. And I really believe that because they never quit on him. And the record's not that bad. And every year with this guy, you have a chance. And he works beautifully in conjunction with his family because he's known the family and they've known him forever. But that changed in the Bears game. Now, it certainly, there were some question marks in the Jets' loss, but that changed in the Bears game when they essentially quit. For the first time under Jason Garrett in almost 10 years, this team stopped playing. They had 19 missed tackles. The next week, they had 10 drop passes. And signs of a team that was no longer playing full out for its head coach were there, and that was when Jerry made his decision. So I think this dalliance or these two or three or four meetings they're having have to do with the fact that Jason Garrett's family. And so they want to know everything that he thinks about all of these players as he walked out the door, right? 24 free agents. If you were going to be here, does that one want to play hard? Does that one want to be here? Is that one willing to do, you know, to be on time to all of the meetings? I think they're getting everything that they can get from Jason Garrett out of this relationship because they love him and they trust him and they want all that they can get and they want this to be, you know, the best possible parting of ways. So I think that's what's taking so long. There's no reason for them to be in a hurry. Another reason there might not be for them to be in a hurry is Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City has playoff games, and I think they're very interested in him. They're also, from what I understand, very interested in two current head coaches, Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, okay, and certainly Sean Payton in New Orleans. And so what are they willing to pay? If either one of those teams would discuss that with them, what are they willing to pay? Are they willing to give up 3 first-round picks? So I believe those conversations are being had. My opinion is that Jerry is not keen on replacing Jason Garrett with a college coach. So as much as Urban Meyer's name is out there, I bet Urban Meyer ends up in Cleveland because I think Urban Meyer wants Dallas more than Dallas wants Urban Meyer. And I don't think Lincoln Riley's leaving OU. I think it's a beautiful situation for him. He's happy there. And, you know, why would you? why would you? So that's my update as best I can on coaching and on undrafted free agents. What else do you want to know?
Hey, DFW Sports Beat host Brady Tinker with us, SB Nation Radio. Give him a follow at DFW Sports Beat. Okay, this is what I want to know. Being the Dallas Cowboys head coach, it's what perhaps the most high-profile position in the NFL, but is it the most desirable?
Well, I think it depends on the person. So I think for Urban Meyer, absolutely. Effing-lutely it is. But I think for a Lincoln Riley, maybe not. It's a bit of a cluster. you know, at times. And there's no pushing Jerry Jones aside. While he's acquiesced some of his power and welcomed many more of Stephen Jones and Will McClay's input as to who they should draft and personnel in the last 5 years than he ever did before, he's still Jerry. And the players still know, you know, that he is his door is always open. And that's been a problem. You know, you've heard a lot about Troy Aikman lately. He wants to be the GM of this team. He wants to be the GM of an NFL team, but he doesn't anticipate it happening because he's been mad, you know, since the last 3 years of his career when he got rid of Jimmy Johnson and he brought in his buddy Barry Switzer.
Yep.
And they feel like they probably should have won in 94, but they didn't. And then they did in 95, and it became a full-out country club. And I think Troy feels like the last 3 or 4 years of his career were wasted, that this was still a team that should have won 5 Super Bowls, not 3. And so as much as Troy would like to be a part of this, he also is adamant in saying, listen, it's been a mess since he fired Jimmy. And nobody's afraid of anything, and nobody's afraid of losing their jobs, and there isn't a hard-nosed nature in this organization like there is in Pittsburgh, like there is in New England, you know, like there has been for the most part in Green Bay. And because of that softness, that's why this team in the last 15 years especially, let's go back to the beginning of Romo, comes up short. And if you come into this $3 billion practice facility or you go into the $2.2 billion playing facility, you'll realize this is the most posh, unbelievable organization in the world, and it takes some sort of special personality to get these guys to not be soft, to not be relaxed, complacent, you know, whatever the word is. But a lot of guys got paid in this offseason, guys that I think are really good football players, and hardly any of them had a good year. Hardly any of them. And I don't think they quit, but I think that this organization is so cushy and comfy that when guys who got paid this offseason look at their bank account in the morning before they go to practice, they look at her like, oh, $23.54 million and I'm 24 years old. You know what? I'm good. and you know,
yeah.
And I think it's human nature. I'm not bashing anybody because I'm not saying any names. I'm not bashing anybody. But I do think that there is a general softness in this organization that for too many years in the last 15, let's say, they had talent that was first, second, or third deepest in the NFL. And it never went anywhere. And this, as Troy says, comes back to the top. So you're going to need someone who's a hard ass, and you're going to need someone who comes in here and says, I have to have the ability to bench people, even if you paid them. I have to have the ability to cut people, even if you paid them. It's the only way we're going to get better. So that's where Zimmer comes into play, and that's where Sean Payton comes into play. Guys who won't take this job, and it probably can never get done anyway because of the teams, but who won't take this job unless they say, I'm the hammer, Jerry. You're not the hammer.
Okay, so who would be the perfect Cowboys coach then?
You know, I honestly, here's one. My favorite right now is Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell was tight end on this team for 3 or 4 years. When Jason Witten got here in whatever year that was, 17 years ago, 16
okay.
years ago,
yeah.
Dan Campbell was the tight end. Parcells was here. And Dan Campbell was a captain on this team and a leader on this team. And he was a take no S from anybody type of guy. And this organization loved him, loved the effect that Parcells had on him. And he's been in New Orleans, I believe, as their tight end coach the last couple of years. So he's been with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a consistent message from that tree, if you will, right? The Parcells-Payton tree of how football is supposed to be played and how it's supposed to be coached. And if I was picking a guy, I would say, that's my guy. Go get me Dan Campbell. Been around it long enough, been through it under the tree of people that we respect the most with Peyton and Parcells, and that would be my guy. I would be surprised if Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City is not high on their list as well, and that's someone that they're going to talk to. Those are my two, as we sit here today, favorites for getting the job, Dan Campbell and Eric Bieniemy.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. With us tonight has been Brady Tinker. Give him a follow at DFW Sports Beat, ESPN Radio 103.3 in Dallas with Off with the Helmet Show. I wish we had more time. We look forward to another conversation in just a few weeks. Thank you so much, Brady. We appreciate you.
Elise, my pleasure.
You bet. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it is Friday night. Happy New Year from all of us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hope all of you had a wonderful holiday. It's great to be back in studio. And before we get underway with our next segment, we always want you to trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, as always, it is time for some PGA news and notes, and we are ready to guide you through the 2020 season. Several tournaments we're going to review tonight and get you ready here in the month of January. And we'll also have our next guest provide some bold predictions on what will take place perhaps in the new year. So let's tee it up and go inside the ropes with our favorite. That is former PGA Tour player, the great Larry Miller. Good evening and Happy New Year, Larry.
Well, good evening, everybody. Happy New Year to all you out there. And I don't want to sound too corny, but let's hope that we have 2020 vision when we line up our putts this year.
Absolutely. You got to start it on the line. You know, last week when you were on the show, Larry, we wrapped up the best moments of 2019. So tonight, I would like to get your predictions on what we can anticipate in this brand new year. But let's start out with Brooks Koepka. I mean, he is 29 years of age. He's already won four majors. I mean, how much better can this get?
Well, you know, he's recovering from that knee injury, and he's rehabbing it as we speak. And he was scheduled to play in the last event, but he couldn't, wasn't ready, said he was not ready, needed more time to heal. And he signed up to play in Dubai in February, but he also says that he is hoping to be ready for that. Now, what I find interesting is that Las Vegas has Koepka as the betting favorite for the Masters in April. Now, if he's not ready to go in February, we're talking about a month and a half at the most until the Masters, and I just don't see how he can be the betting favorite for the Masters with this situation with his leg.
Well, Brooks Koepka, as you said, you know, really doesn't have, he's not solidified in terms of his timetable for his exact return. He is hopefully progressing and trending in the right direction with his rehab. You had mentioned, you know, he's committed to play in Saudi Arabia in February. But just how weird was that injury to his knee? I mean, slipping on that wet concrete during what was the second round of the CJ Cup back in October.
Yeah, I think he had stem cell treatment, and then after that is when he slipped on that wet pavement and re-injured the thing, and so now he's in rehab. But what I'm thinking about is the rust factor when he comes back, you know, not having played in so long, especially competitively, and that's why I am highly doubtful of him being the favorite at Augusta.
You have to wonder what his mindset will be when we talk about Brooks Koepka. Obviously, he had to be pretty disappointed that he was not able to compete and play with Team USA with the President's Cup. I would think coming into this brand new season, he's going to have a little bit of a sense of urgency and perhaps a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, and as we know, he plays better when he has that chip.
So true, yes.
Is against the wall, but it's really hard to get right back into the competitive groove at that level after a layoff. However, we've seen Tiger do it. And the thing with Koepka, you know, he's a really big guy. Mm-hmm. And he's not just big, he's big boned and he's heavy. And so that knee, he puts a lot of stress on that joint when he swings. So I think Koepka's, that's why he's probably being very careful with his rehab and not rushing into things.
Larry Miller is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player and author of four books on golf and performance. And as we talk about Brooks Koepka and his injury, and hopefully 2020 is going to be a fantastic year for him, but he was replaced by Ricky Fowler on the U.S. team. And there was a lot of questions on, you know, ultimately, how would this impact the Americans? Would he be rusty? What did you think of Ricky Fowler's performance in Australia?
Oh, I thought he was great. I think Ricky Fowler is, to me, is one of the top 10 players in the world all the time. But I also have the sense with him that he may end up being like another Colin Montgomery, where, you know, where he has this tremendous career, all sorts of victories and high finishes and everything else, but never wins a major. I can kind of see that with him, the way it's going, because he has a lot of trouble closing out events when he's, you know, when he's in contention or in the hunt right near the end. He's got trouble closing it out. That's why he hasn't won a major. He always throws one round in there that prevents him from winning the majors. So, but at the same time, he's a great player, great team player. And so I'd have him on my team any day.
So, Larry, what is the key to closing out a tournament as we talk about Ricky Fowler?
It's all about maintaining focus for that long. You've got five and a half hours every round that you have to maintain that focus, and then you have to do it for four straight days. And that's the problem. And it takes a special kind of makeup, and not just talent, but a special kind of emotional makeup and mental makeup to be able to focus not just for 5 or 6 hours a day, but also for 4 days in a row.
So glad you're with us tonight at the Next Generation of Sports Radio. That is SB Nation Radio. And I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Would love to connect with you tonight. You can join us many different ways and platforms, of course, at social media, Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. You know, it's interesting. I have to ask you tonight, Larry, that Ricky Fowler, he replaced Brooks Koepka on Team USA. Who would have been another option in your mind? Because there were several other guys that played very well in 2019, and you had mentioned him just a moment ago. I'm thinking about our guy, Kevin Na.
I definitely would have him at the right at the top of the list. You know, one time I was in, Connie and I were playing golf in Palm Springs just socially with other couples, and we played around at one of the courses there at La Quinta, and Kevin Na was playing right in front of us, and he was doing the same thing, just playing with, I think, maybe his dad or relatives, you know, or friends, and he was right in front of us. And the thing I kept noticing with Kevin Na, every time I looked up, he was hitting an approach from the middle of the fairway. Mm-hmm. And he's not that long, as you know. He's not one of the bombers out there. He's kind of a smaller guy. But he hits it in the fairway all the time. And that's one reason you see him shooting a lot of these low numbers. He's 62s and threes that he comes up with. It's because he's always playing his approaches perfect lies in the middle of the fairway. And, you know, everybody thinks the game has gotten to be a game of distance and power. But let me tell you, hitting it in the fairway all day is worth its weight in gold, because you're hitting from a really good lie all the time. You don't have to necessarily bend the ball left or right too much from the middle of the fairway. I think that's he's a great putter, too, but his strength is his accuracy. And he's overcome a lot of adversity. You know, that nervous thing that he had going a few years ago where he couldn't draw the club back. He's overcome that incredibly well. He's got a lot of willpower, a lot of determination.
But
I think his accuracy, with his accuracy, I'd have him on my team, too. You know, I think he's right there at the top.
Well, Kevin Na, he is 27th in the PGA Tour World Rankings. What does the future hold for him? What do you think, Larry?
Well, I think that two things. I think that his consistency and his accuracy are going to have him kind of like Ricky, where he's going to have a lot of wins, be in contention a lot. But I think that other factor, that power factor, that distance is the thing that's going to keep him from being a major. Because when you get to the majors, you have to hit the ball a long way as well as accurately. And so that's why the guys like Koepka and Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, that's why they win all these majors, is because they've got both facets of it. They've got the distance and they've got the accuracy as well.
You're listening to the familiar voice. We are Inside the Ropes, a former PGA Tour pro. That is Larry Miller with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. You can check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. So let's move ahead. We got to talk about the PGA Tour season, some of the tournaments that are actually going to be coming up here in the month of January. And that means we've got to highlight Tiger Woods. He had a historic 2019 season, and one would think that he would return to the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. And you and Connie, you guys were just there, a month or two ago, right, to kick off, when we talk about Tiger Woods kicking off his 2020 campaign, but you guys were just there.
Yes, and he's won there 7 or 8 times. You know, that's his playground, and so he's going to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, either wins or has a very high finish. And I think, as I said last week, I think he's going to up his schedule in terms of the tournaments right before majors. I don't think he's going to make the mistake again of laying off 2 or 3 weeks before a major, trying to get, you know, rested and healthy. I think he wants to keep the momentum going. And we talked earlier about the favorites at Augusta. So, you know, there he is right there. Tiger Woods, to me, he's got to be the betting favorite. I mean, historically, what he's done on that course and how well he knows it and how well he putts the greens. And then I put McIlroy right next to him. I think those two guys, Koepka would be there if not for the injury, but I think the rust factor is going to take him a while to get back to form.
Well, and Tiger Woods celebrated this week, his 44 years of age, his big birthday, and we just have to wonder how this season is going to unfold for him. And one thing we have continued to learn is you can never put limitations on Tiger Woods. He is back.
That's right. Well, you know, he's 44, but in terms of physical condition, and I'm not talking about injuries, just his physical condition, he's a young 44. Now, with all the injuries and surgeries, he's a little bit of an older 44, too. So the thing is how well is his body going to hold up like it did last year? It did fine last year. In fact, it seemed better at the end of the year.
Right.
As opposed to the Ryder Cup year when he got tired and fatigued. But it seems like he's better. But it all depends on that. It all depends on what kind of year he has health-wise and stamina-wise. But what he showed us at the end of last year and for the last 6 or 8 months, you got to believe that one of my predictions is that he is going to win a major, at least one major this year.
I love it. Larry Miller with us just a few more minutes tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. You bet. We are talking about Tiger Woods. Looking forward to a little bit later this month, perhaps at Torrey Pines. You said it. I mean, he has 8 wins there. How competitive do you think he's going to look in what his first round since the President's Cup last month and where they took care of business?
I think he'll be sharp. He was sharp at the end of the year. You know, he's practicing. He's playing a golf course that, you know, it's like us playing our home course. And that's just about the way it is with him at Torrey Pines. So, as I said, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he wins. And I would certainly expect him to be, you know, in the top 10 or 20 in contention.
Okay, Larry, so let's move ahead. And we're all talking about tuning up our game in 2020. Let me ask you personally, you're a former PGA Tour pro. What are some of the things that you are focusing on right now with your game? You're even par, so talk to me, Larry.
That's right. I got to stretch this year out and stay even. But I always start with fundamentals at the beginning of a year. Just like, you know, if you remember Jack Nicklaus with his teacher, Jack Grout, he would do that at the beginning of every season. He would go there, and all he would work on would be fundamentals, things like setup and posture and grip. Keeping the head steady during the swing, balance, just the fundamentals of the game, because you want to start off that way with good fundamentals, and you're not going to lose your swing. You know, you play golf for that long, and you're going to pretty much swing the same way all the time. It's really a matter of being consistent with the way you go about it. If you go about golf in a random way, you're going to hit random shots. So you have to be meticulous, almost ritualistic with the way that you go about your pre-shot routine and your fundamentals. And so I would urge all of you golfers out there, you listeners, to start off with those fundamentals. Check your grip, your stance, your posture, and make sure your head's not moving around too much, and try to finish in a balanced position at the finish. Those are the things that get your timing back quickly.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Let's go back inside the ropes with PGA Pro Larry Miller. It's all about getting back to basics, also getting your grips changed out, right? Eli did that this week, so he's pretty fired up about a brand new year. But let's talk about, I know our listeners will love to hear you share a little bit about how do you get better 10 feet and under.
Wow. And that's the secret of scoring, too. That's where I'm going to have a conversation with Steven soon about that, and Eli both. But mm-hmm. 10 feet and under, you know, Freddie Haas told me that if you're a great putter from 10 feet and under, you're going to be a great player. Yeah, because it takes a lot of pressure off your game when you know inside of 10 feet you're probably going to make it. if you have doubts and fear about those distances on those putts, then it puts a lot of pressure on your approaches to get them close. And then you get more tension and you end up not hitting good shots. So 10 feet and under, the way you do it is just repetition, repetition. And again, be meticulous about the way you go about it. Have a very set routine. Don't vary it, because when you vary your routine, you're going to get varied results. So very ritualistic. I love to use that word when I talk about pre-shot routine, because it is. It has to be almost like OCD, where it has to be just the same every time without any variance at all.
Absolutely. It is going to be a fascinating year. And you know what? There's going to be a fascinating game to watch. You and Connie, you love your Saints. The Vikings are going to be in town. Your Saints have had an incredible season, 13-3. What do you think the outcome of this game is going to be?
We're on a mission this year after what happened to us last
year. Yeah.
And then not only that, but Drew Brees is playing like he's 25 years old, and we've got everybody healthy back for the playoff game. We're all hands on deck. We're at home. Crowd's going to be crazy. And we owe the Vikings one, too, from 2 years ago. So we're an 8-point favorite, I think, and I don't think it's going to be that close. I see the Saints win going away, just like LSU is going to do to Clemson.
Oh, that is going to be awesome on Monday night. Much more. Larry, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to more compelling conversations in 2020. We appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Great. Going to be a fun golfing year, everybody. So talk to you soon.
Absolutely. The best is ahead, and much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, that is SB Nation Radio.